Hi, folks. My name's Avish Nilanigan. If you work within Open Embedded or Yocto project, you'd probably know me as Pidge. The name of my talk is Build Systems All the Way Down, Untangling Open Embedded, Meta Zephyr, and Zephyr Integration within Eclipse and Nero. So a little bit about myself. I'm a software developer now for 30 years. I work as principal open source architect with Huawei. I've been doing embedded systems for the past 20 years, focusing on open embedded in the Yocto project for the past little over 10. I'm also the maker of funny demos. I made the Yocto Blimp, the Yocto Portable DJ, the Yocto project embedded hurdy-gurdy. But what I'm here to talk about today is some of my work that I ended up picking up was I was after many years of not being involved with Meta Zephyr. All this work is stuff that I've been doing under the Eclipse Foundation and Nero project, which is a project focused on the development of a distributed open source operating system for consumer devices, regardless of brand, model, and make. And if you're a embedded developer, you should check it out. All the tools that we're familiar with, Open Embedded, Yocto Project, and Zephyr. So let's talk about what Zephyr looks like under Open Embedded before the changes that I've made. So the Open Embedded Zephyr stack was fairly straightforward. Meta Zephyr at the top had machine configuration, and in those machine configuration, we had machine overrides. These machine overrides told Open Embedded what Zephyr modules were available. They were hard-coded in there. So if we wanted to add an additional Zephyr module, we would have to add an additional machine override. And then we had Zephyr kernel recipes, which checked out a subset of Zephyr and used Zephyr BB class, which just wrapped around CMake BB class. And then we would build Zephyr using CMake and spit out number of the different boards available. Now, as I said, I was looking at this as I was working on the Eclipse and Nero project, and I found a few issues that I wasn't happy with. First one is, what if I want to add or delete a Zephyr module in Zephyr? It would mean adding a machine override or deleting a machine override, and I didn't really want to do that. What if I wanted to add a machine that had a Zephyr module that we weren't checking out? So we had incomplete source URI. And the big thing was, all right, that's great. We have 8 machines. Zephyr has 395, somewhere around there. How do I get those additional machines in there? And lastly, because I'm pedantic, I was looking at the layer, and I'm like, this layer structure is arguably not Yocto project compatible. Really should not have machine and other recipes mixing that tightly. So the issues boil down to, we need to treat Zephyr projects as CMake projects, which they are. But we have this thing called West, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, which is the canonical way that Zephyr builds their projects, and it wraps CMake. And do we really want to be using Yocto project and open embedded within the Nero project to go and call Meta Zephyr and Zephyr BSP and Meta and West that calls CMake and have literally build systems all the way down? And I didn't have an answer to that. So I needed to do a little bit of diving. One of the things that was really bothering me was that Meta Zephyr had no knowledge of Zephyr modules. So we were hard coding it in machine overrides. Number one, it shouldn't be in hard coded like that. And it really shouldn't be in a machine definition. This is something that Zephyr really should take care of. And if we need to pass out or tree modules, we can use Zephyr extra modules for it. We also had a layer structure that wasn't Yocto project compatible, and that would just annoy me. And then lastly, there were only 8 supported machines. How do you get all those machine configurations out of Zephyr and into Meta Zephyr? So let's look at a few premises. Number one, the machine BSP layer should stand alone. Yocto project compatibility is very clear on this. Where multiple types of functionality are present, the layer should be internally divided into sublayers. So that's the first thing that we ended up doing. Next, Zephyr should control as much about the compilation as possible or feasible. So if we need to pass in extra out-of-tree modules, we can pass them in via Zephyr extra modules. We shouldn't be needing to replicate metadata unless we can avoid it. If we can avoid it, or unless we can't avoid it. And lastly, we needed to support more machines. That means getting a full Zephyr checkout, and how do we get as many of those machines as possible out of Zephyr? So the first thing we needed to do was get rid of the machine overrides. And I was looking at this and going, well, Zephyr uses kconfig. I can do a lot of the kernel tooling and read the kconfig probably, but that was a lot of work to build and maintain. Path I went down initially as I was auto-generating machines is, well, you know, I'll just figure out what all the Zephyr modules are and shove them all into machine overrides and everyone will be happy. And then I got to my 30th Zephyr module that I hadn't found, and I was like, all right, now this isn't going to work. This is a lot of work to build and maintain. It doesn't actually solve our problem. And then one day I was poking around Zephyr and I found the module YAML file, and then I found a program called Zephyr Module, and I tried running that directly, but for some reason it required this tool called WES, which I was familiar with, but because of a little bit of prejudice I have around Swiss Army knife wondering to rule them all solutions, I looked at it, but I hadn't really looked at it. And then I started looking at it more and it pointed to a solution. So WES is interesting. It's the documented way to get and build Zephyr, and they call it the Swiss pocket knife, and wraps git, CMake, and manifests, which generally is something I like avoid doing, but in this case, it actually gives us what we wanted, which is less WES list. WES list went and uses that little script I had found to go and grab all the bits of Zephyr module that it can find, and with a little bit of work, as long as our checkout complied with the WES workspace, which it didn't, we needed to massage that a little bit, we would get a WES native, all the dependencies for it, and then write a little function which essentially just ran WES list to get Zephyr modules and populate those. We run this no stamp because I want it to run every single time. You know, it's very small, it doesn't put that much strain on the build, but this ensures that if we go in and change Zephyr modules, that we will make sure that we always get that updated. So what this allows us to do is discover what modules and pass that in using regular old CMake flags. Brings us to our next point. How do I get all the machine configurations in? And I will admit, I'm not a CMake expert, so this stumped me for a bit. And I was poking through it, looking at it, and I ended up talking to some of the guys on the Zephyr and WES project. They're like, well, have a take a look at makefile exports. This may give you a way to go. And I looked at it and went, oh, this is interesting. Here's this extension that allows me to export makefiles based on what's in CMake. I wonder if what we can do is abuse this to export machine configurations. And that's what we did. So this patch is currently kept within MetaZephyr. It's non-upstreamable. And it's also not perfect. So it misses some tunes during generation, can't find certain machines like ESP32s and RISC-V5s. But what it does result is in generating 323 out of the 395 Zephyr machines. Of those, 291 will actually produce a Zephyr Hello World. Now, how many of those actually run on hardware? I don't know yet. I don't have 291 machines on my desk at home. But that's something that I will be looking at in the coming future. So this patch hit the mailing list a couple of weeks ago, and there was some pushback on it. And the pushback was entirely fair. Does solving my problem cause other people problems? And the answer is yes, it does, because vendors have their own BSP layers. I'm sitting here going, well, my problem is I want all the Zephyr machines in Meta Zephyr. I want them all. And the vendors are like, no, we have our own BSP layers that we maintain these. We do a lot of work on this, and you're going and replacing them with this auto-generated stuff. So the takeaway with this is, just because it fixes my problem, does it fix everyone else's? And if it doesn't, then I need to work with the stakeholders to actually figure out a way that makes us all happy. So in this case, what we've done is we have a recipe, and I'll show you this in a moment, that generates those, but we didn't actually put the machine configurations in, because frankly, not all of the machines make sense. POSIX type machines, which is what Zephyr calls machines that are basically just run natively, don't really make sense in a Yocto project context or an open embedded context. So, you know, in this case, there's still some work to be done around the auto-generated machines, but it's in there so people can play with it. So what does this look like post-changes, which hit the morning that I'm actually recording this video? They are now in Meta Zephyr. Is that we have split Meta Zephyr into Meta Zephyr BSP and Meta Zephyr Core. There is, the machines are still the same, except now we've removed machine overrides. We now have a generate Zephyr machine recipe, which will go in, check out Zephyr, and try to generate as many machines as possible and dump them in your deploy dir. On the Meta Zephyr core side, we are still using Zephyr BB class. We are still building with CMake. We've decided not to build with West, and the reason why is that it ended up giving us more complexity without actually buying us anything. We now have the full source URI, and West is used to generate the Zephyr modules. And in the end, we're still building the same way, CMake with Zephyr all the way, and we still have the same 8 boards, but now we have the option of 283 additional machines. So if people want to go and fork Meta Zephyr and go, oh, I want all these machines in it because I have a big board firm that I want to test them all with, if you do, call me. And if not, you know, this is still something that you can do. So, real quick, the Eclipso Nero project, where you can get the Nero, our documentation, as well as a link to the Meta Zephyr GitHub. So if you have any questions, I'm here for the next couple of minutes, and I can answer them.
So thanks a lot for your talk. I don't think we've had a lot of questions in the chat, but I've prepared a few on my side anyway.
Oh, great.
So the first that I had, which you kind of covered at the end of the talk, is how much of that work did influence things in the Zephyr project itself? Like, did you discuss with Upstream? Did they change anything to kind of do things better for Yocto to more easily package Zephyr?
No, because and I don't think they really should care too much about it. I had initially talked to the West folks about, all right, how do I figure out, I was looking at it, my entire goal initially was to figure out how to get all these machines into Meta Zephyr, which was kind of the wrong goal to begin with. They're like, oh, there's not really a good way of doing this. Go take a look at the makefile exports. And as I was looking at the makefile exports, I kind of went, how we're doing these machine overrides to indicate Zephyr modules is kind of not a real great way of doing that. So my initial goal was to get more machines into Zephyr or into Meta Zephyr. And it turned out that I didn't get those machines into Meta Zephyr. We have the ability to generate them, but I did clean it up a lot. So yeah, so there wasn't a lot of stuff that really the Zephyr project would have needed to do. And I'm not really sure that machine generation abuse of CMake that I'm doing is really something that's upstreamable, because they have their own build system. Why do they care?
Right. Actually, I found it quite interesting how you leverage West. Usually this kind of tools that does part of the packaging work and overlap with systems such as Yocto, they kind of get in the way and are more annoying than anything. Yeah. But here you did kind of the opposite and leveraged it instead of like fight against it. I found that quite interesting.
I will admit to you, I have a dire hatred of One Ring to Rule Them All tools that wrap Git, wrap this, wrap that, and all package it together. But on the same token, you know, I'm looking at this going, all right, how do I get my job done? And, oh, this tool actually does this very interesting niche thing that I need to figure out. And I could have written a kconfig wrapper to read the kconfig, and I'm just like, no, that's not interesting. West does it. It's really easy to do it that way. And I was looking at, I was thinking, all right, do I want to build with West? And really, I don't think that it would buy us anything for exactly what you said. It kind of gets in the way, right? So if my build fails, do I have to debug West code as opposed to CMake? I'd rather just debug the CMake. Right. So, No, exactly. It's you utilize the bits of the tools that you need and nothing more.
All right. My next question is takes kind of a big step back, I would say, compared to your topic. I'm kind of curious to hear your perspective and your view on what Oniro is and what it does. We're hearing a lot about it in a lot of FOSDEM talks. But a lot of people are kind of wondering what it is, what problem it is trying to solve, and with your background, your expertise on embedded Linux, can you give us a bigger picture of what's the idea is?
So from my perspective, you know, I've been working on the Yocto project now for a long time, open embedded for a while, and this takes that work and extends it even further. So it gives device manufacturers kind of the single place to play and do things all the way from the Zephyr kind of MCU world all the way up to the big stuff, and have an entire update stream that's the same across the board. Reference designs that they can sit there and play with, and have a bit larger of a playground to play with, right? So that's kind of where I'm looking at it as. From my perspective, it is this place that we can go and create devices that use Zephyr, but the same OTA strategy. That I would do with a open embedded build and have that same OTA strategy across the board. I think that answers the question.
Yep. Okay, good. Cool. Thank you. I haven't seen any other questions on the chat, and I don't have any others. So unless there's anything else you want to share on that topic, I think we can close the.
I felt bad returning to Meta Zephyr, because I was kind of responsible for the initial work at it, and I looked at it and I went, this is wrong. And I kind of said, yeah, I feel a little bit responsible for the machine override stuff, because I think that may have been my idea initially. It was either me or Juro that had that initial idea. Oh, we just put it in machine conf, and I was like, I felt guilty about it. So that was one of the reasons why I went and fixed it.
All right. That's good work. Thanks a lot. And thank you for your talk at FOSDEM. And
thank you.
Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Thanks.